Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life. This is Steve Klein. Good to have you listening to our program today. Hope that everything is getting off to a good start for you this morning. As we get into the program, we're going to be talking about being scammed. You ever been scammed? You like to be scammed? Most people surely don't. Some people think that religion is a scam, that Christianity itself is nothing but a scam. What about you? What do you think about it? We'll be talking about whether or not Christianity delivers on its promise this morning. So stay tuned for that. But before we get into the lesson this morning, I'd like to invite you to be with us this morning at the Eastside Church of Christ to worship the God of Heaven, to study His Word. We meet at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama, 9 o'clock this morning. We're meeting just off Highway 31 in Athens. If you're anywhere in the Athens area, 110 French Way, 9 o'clock for a Bible study and then a worship assembly. We'd love for you to come out and be with us, as we said, study God's Word, and let us get to know you. If you're not able to be with us today, check us out online. You can go to our Facebook page, Eastside Church of Christ in Athens on Facebook, or check out our website, eastside-church.org, eastside-church.org. You can go there and click on the media tab and the live streaming. But come be with us this morning if you can be. We'd love, as we said, to have the opportunity to worship God with you. Well, what about the questions we were asking? Have you ever been scammed? Most of us have experienced, you know, giving money over to somebody and then not really getting what we were expecting. No one likes to be scammed. When we buy something, especially something of any worth, we often come down with what some people call buyer's remorse. Have you ever had that? You spend money for something, maybe a lot of money for it, and then you really regret doing that. Buyer's remorse is this emotional condition, where a person feels sadness or regret after the purchase. And that kind of anxiety, that kind of remorse might be rooted in several different factors. Maybe you purchased the wrong thing. You thought you were getting one thing, you got something else. Maybe you purchased it for a bad price. Maybe you thought you were getting a good deal. Winds up, it wasn't a good deal at all. Maybe you purchased something on the spur of the moment, on an impulse, when you probably should have waited for a better price or a newer model or something like that. Or maybe you purchased it on credit and ran your debt up. And then when you got the product, you realized, you know, now you're in debt. You shouldn't have done that. So there are lots of reasons that people have buyer's remorse. The underlying question always, you know, when we buy something, especially something of much value, is, well, is it worth it? Is it worth what I'm paying for it? For most of us, you know, people work hard for their money. It takes a lot of time to earn money. It takes a lot of effort and energy. And when you use your money for things, you are using your work and your energy really to purchase things. And you wonder if that's all worth it. Nobody wants to be ripped off, and no one wants to be scammed. So that kind of gets us to our question this morning. What about Christianity or even religion in general? There are people that say religion as a whole is a scam. It's not worth it. Everything that you put into it, you don't really get anything out of it. There are people that believe that. There are people that think that following Jesus Christ is not worth it. And I think that's worth examining this morning, because there may be people even listening to this program who have given some thought to being a Christian, becoming a follower of Jesus Christ, but just feel like that they might be being scammed or that it's not going to be worth it. They see other Christians perhaps giving their all to serve Jesus, and they don't understand how they can give up, you know, all the things that they give up in order to be Christians, in order to serve Jesus as He wants them to. So what about you this morning? Let's just start with a parable that Jesus tells in Matthew chapter 13. I'll be reading in verse 44. Jesus says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." The parables that Jesus is telling here, of course, relate to things that might commonly happen, especially in the public economy in the day in which Jesus lived. he says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in a field. And the man maybe is passing through a field and he finds the treasure in the field. The field doesn't belong to him, but he realizes that if he owned the field, then the treasure that was in the field would be his. So he goes out and he sells everything that he's got, gives his all to buy this field so he can have that treasure. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like that. The kingdom of heaven is your relationship with God. It's God ruling in your heart. It's you being part of this beautiful and eternal kingdom where you can spend eternity with God around his throne as him being your king and have everlasting life. So the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, is like this treasure. It's worth everything. That's the point that Jesus makes. If you stumbled across it, it would be something that, you know, you'd buy the field, you'd buy all the land that surrounded it so that you could have this one great treasure. The other parable is the pearl of great price. A merchant is searching the world for the ultimate pearl, and he finds it, but has to sell everything that he has to purchase this one pearl that had such a high price. But he does it joyfully, and he becomes ultimately the owner of this precious jewel. So Jesus is telling us in both of these cases that, sure enough, the kingdom of heaven is worth it. When he talks about the man buying the field so he can obtain the treasure, this sounds odd to us, I think, but it could happen and may have happened frequently in ancient times. The ground was a safe case place to keep belongings. They didn't have secure vaults and banks, you know, like we do today. Today, some of us might, you know, stuff extra money in our mattress or something. But in ancient times, people would, you know, dig a hole on their property someplace or hide it on their property someplace. So if robbers came to a house or maybe an invading army came through, people would flee and then they could come back later for their treasure. But sometimes people didn't come back, especially during time of war when some invading army comes through, they wipe out everybody, they chase everybody out of their houses, and the people are displaced for the rest of their lives and they never come back to the house. So in a case like that, you know, you could easily wander on some property that might have some valuable things in it hidden somewhere. Similarly, when you think about that pearl of great price, in the ancient world, the pearl was considered to be one of the loveliest of all possessions. In Revelation, the book of Revelation in our Bibles, the gates of heaven themselves are made out of pearl. So, you know, it was highly valued. And in the picture that we're given in heaven in Revelation 21:21, even the gates of heaven itself are made out of pearl. So there were merchants who would travel the world looking for pearls of great value. So the simple message again of the parable is that the kingdom is that treasure, and it's that pearl, and the kingdom is well worth the investment of a person's life. Whatever it takes for you to possess the kingdom of heaven, you need to pay that price. You need to give that much. No matter what you have to give up, it pales in comparison to the kingdom. So the premise is, Jesus is saying, yes, the kingdom of heaven is worth whatever you have to give. Well, Jesus had disciples who were following him, of course, and his disciples had given up a lot. You know, they gave up quite a bit to follow this new rabbi, if you will, in the first century. And ever since they had started following, it seemed like there were amazing things that were happening, but there had been a lot of trouble as well. So here are men following Jesus, especially think about the 12 apostles. They had given a lot, and they had been asked for a lot, and I mean a lot. If you go back to the time when Jesus called his disciples initially in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18, he was walking by the Sea of Galilee. This is Jesus walking by the sea, and he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. So here are men who had, you know, good jobs, so to speak, They were gainfully employed. They were making a living for their families. They had a life, and they just absolutely left it all behind. In fact, it says about James and John that they left the boat and their father. They left it all to follow Jesus. So immediately, in deciding to be disciples of Christ, they had given up a lot right off the bat. And then you can read about another of Jesus' disciples, Levi, also known as Matthew. Jesus goes out in Luke 5 and verse 27, and he sees a tax collector named Levi sitting at a tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me," and leaving everything, he rose and followed him. Now, tax collectors in the day of Jesus could be very, very wealthy people. Their business was typically very lucrative. They often, in collecting taxes for the Roman government, would take a pretty good cut for themselves before they turned the money over to the Roman government. And so they were not highly regarded by the Jews because they were considered to be traitors to their own people, collecting taxes for a foreign government, for an occupying army. But nonetheless, they could be very, very wealthy people. But Levi leaves it all behind. I mean, Jesus calls him and he gets up from his tax collecting booth. He leaves the booth and presumably everything along with it to follow Jesus. So yes, these disciples knew what it was to give up things, a lot, to follow Jesus. So when we come to Matthew 19, there's an interesting thing that happens in the life of Jesus. There was a rich man that came to Jesus and wanted to know what he should do to have eternal life. He says, this is Matthew 19 and verse 16, he says to Jesus, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." And he said to him, "Which ones?" So Jesus said, "Well, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." So the young man says, this rich young man says to Jesus, "All these things I've kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." So Jesus is basically making the same demand, the same request of this rich young man that he'd made of his own disciples. You remember he told them to leave it all and follow him, and that's what they'd done. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and now Levi as well, and now this rich young ruler, he's basically telling him the same things that he told some of his other disciples. Except the difference is, this young man is really, really wealthy. And so, when the young man heard what Jesus said, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus turns to his disciples in Matthew 19 and verse 23, and he says to them, "I say to you, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." You see, this person has to give up a lot. And most people who have a lot aren't willing to give up a lot in order to have a relationship with God, in order to enter the kingdom of God. So when the disciples heard what Jesus said and saw what had happened, they were really astonished. And they said, "Well, who then can be saved?" Jesus says, "With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." So God can save anybody, right? Rich people, poor people, people of all different political backgrounds and racial backgrounds, and whoever you are, wherever you are, it doesn't matter. God has the power to save you. So Peter's seeing all this and listening to Jesus' answer, and he asks something then really interesting in verse 27 of this text. He says to Jesus, "See, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" You see Peter's question? We've given everything up to follow you, Jesus. Now, what have we purchased here? What is it that we're going to get in return for what we have done? Peter wants to know what they will get for what they paid, if you will. I wonder if the question had ever come up among the disciples before this time. We know that they anticipated a reward for following Jesus. they'd ask themselves, who will be the greatest? And maybe they'd ask themselves, what are we going to receive? Perhaps they would discuss among themselves from time to time, is this really worth it? We've given up everything. We're following this man. There's a lot of trouble surrounding him. We could really wind up being hurt as a consequence of following him. So are we making a good deal here, or are we getting scammed? Did any of them ever wonder, have we been scammed? Was there some buyer's remorse on their part, some anxiety, some uncertainty about their choice? So Peter's question is interesting. We've given up everything. What will we have? Jesus' answer is even more interesting. Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life." So Jesus says, you've made a good bargain. you've made a good deal. You've given up everything, but you're going to get 100 times more, and then you're going to have eternal life. Again, Jesus is not talking to the crowds here. He's not talking to the multitudes. He's talking to his disciples. Jesus has called his investors together, if you will, those who have invested themselves in him. And they're concerned. Peter's wondering, what are we going to get? To them, maybe things don't look that good. Maybe they're, as we've already said, concerned that they've made a bad bargain, maybe even been scammed. That's why Jesus is telling them these parables, to reassure them that they have indeed invested well. May I say to you that no matter what you've given up, you need to remember that you have found a treasure beyond imagination if you're a Christian. You have found the pearl of great price. And don't let anyone fool you into thinking that the kingdom is not the most valuable thing in the world or in the world to come, for it surely is. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is well worth the investment of a person's entire life. That's what Jesus is saying. Now, I understand, and many listening today are probably thinking to yourselves, well, it's not like you're really purchasing something, you know, and you can't compare it to a purchase. Although Jesus does compare it in this way, doesn't he? He says, you've given this, you've given all this up, here's what you're getting. But we understand that salvation really is a gift. It doesn't matter what we might give up, or what Jesus might expect of us or ask of us. We're certainly not making a trade on even ground. We're not giving something of high value for something of equal value. We're giving something of value for something that is so far beyond what we're giving, so far beyond the price that we're paying, that it's not even worthy to be compared with it. That's what Jesus is really telling them. Look, the kingdom of heaven is worth everything. It's not just worth what you have, it's worth what everybody has. And it's more than well worth it. There's not really even a comparison to be made between the so-called price you're paying and the reward that God will grant. So if you are a disciple of Jesus today, I want you to be assured, and Jesus wants you to be assured, that you have made a really good investment. Here's a quick and simple, maybe three-part synopsis of this investment strategy, if you will. I think the show that precedes us and follows us here on WVNN is about investing. Well, we're talking about spiritual investing right now. And as is the case of most anything of value or of worth, the kingdom of heaven, this extremely valuable thing, is only going to be acquired with some effort. You know, treasures don't come just popping out of the ground. Pearls don't appear out of thin air. You have to make some effort to discover the treasure, especially in a world that's full of spiritual junk and philosophies and ideas that are not worth a thing. You have to really dig, maybe, to find the kingdom of heaven. We are surrounded by so much junk. But Jesus promises that if we seek, we can find. In fact, he said in Matthew 7 and verse 7, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. I want you to notice that there's effort on the part of the people that Jesus is talking about in these statements. If you're going to find something, you need to seek for it. If you want something to be opened to you, you need to knock. If you want to receive something, you need to ask. So there's some doing that's involved, isn't there? There's some effort that's involved. You can't just expect this to magically appear without any effort on your part to seek it. The kingdom of heaven is well worth it, but you have to put forth that effort, as is the case with anything really of value or worth. In the Old Testament, God had said through Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 29, if from there, he says, you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you look for him with all your heart and with all your soul. If we look for God with all our heart and all our soul, put ourselves into it, we can find him. So let's just ask ourselves this morning, what are we doing or what have we done to discover this great treasure? Are you putting in time, effort, energy, thought in discovering what the kingdom of heaven is all about? Are you seeking it diligently? You're not liable to find it if you're not seeking it. So let's put some effort into seeking the kingdom of heaven. How much are you studying your Bible? How much are you involving yourselves, yourself with those who are seeking the kingdom of heaven? Bible study is so important. Association with those who are also seeking the kingdom of heaven is really important. And again, these are some of the things we're really interested in at Eastside. That's why the Eastside Church of Christ, we have this radio program. We offer Bible correspondence courses. We invite you to come worship with us and study God's Word with us in our Bible classes. All of that is designed to help those who are seekers to find the kingdom. So the first principle of investing is you have to put some effort into it. The second principle is you're going to have to make a sacrifice. Jesus said in Luke 14 and verse 33, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. We've already kind of seen this in when he called Peter, Andrew, James, and John, when he called Levi, and what he told the rich young ruler. All of them, he basically says the same thing. Look, you're going to have to be willing to give up everything in order to follow me. So Jesus says, if you're not willing to forsake everything that you have, you're not ready to be my disciple. That's very demanding, but there's a price to be paid. There's a sacrifice that has to be made, but that's true of anything that's really valuable. Typically, you're going to need to sacrifice to get it. I know we live in a world where we think we can just get everything for free with no effort. Everybody's waiting to win the lottery, you know, all of that sort of thing. Of course, even the lottery takes a little bit of effort, doesn't it? And a little bit of sacrifice. But my point is, certainly the kingdom of heaven takes effort, takes sacrifice. It takes being willing to give all. The Apostle Paul is someone who, before he became the Apostle Paul, of course, had a lot as far as this world is concerned. He was a well-known religious leader among the Jews. He had standing in Jewish society, highly regarded. And yet he says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7, I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. So he's willing to give up everything. Everything that he had, his standing, his education in the Jewish religion, all of that, he's willing to give up to follow Christ. You have to give up something to get things that are worthwhile. You have to give up something in your life to receive the kingdom of heaven. We have a choice. We have a decision to make. We must decide where we're going to invest our lives. Jesus made the choice pretty clear. Obtaining this great treasure means that we have to give up the lesser treasure, the treasure that in fact is going to curse us in the end, the treasure that we think is so valuable to us right now that we're not willing to give up is in fact the treasure that will cause us to lose our soul in the end. What are you clinging to in this world that's preventing you from receiving the kingdom? You know, the kingdom is worth it. And that's the third point of this investment strategy. You have to put forth some effort. You have to be willing to sacrifice. And you need to realize that the kingdom is of far surpassing value. It's worth more than anything. It is long-lasting. It is durable. It is permanent. It's not something that can be taken away. Hebrews 12 and verse 28, we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. See, a treasure in heaven, you're not going to lose that. Nobody's going to steal that from you. It's not going to rust. It's not going to get old and decay. It's reserved in heaven for you, Peter will write. So the payoff, if you will, for using this investment strategy, for seeking the kingdom of heaven, for being willing to sacrifice for the kingdom of heaven, and then understanding the value of the kingdom of heaven, the payoff is literally out of this world. I've never been to a casino, but from all accounts, I think there are a lot of kind of sad people who spend hours in casinos on the end of a slot machine, feeding money into it, and often for long periods of time, there's no payoff. Oh, a payoff may happen once in a while, but if that didn't happen, nobody'd go to casinos. But casinos wouldn't be in business if people were walking out with more money than they walked in with most of the time. This world is full of people who are feeding their energies, their lives, their money, their time, their talents into a slot machine that is never going to pay off. Jesus says, give it up. Invest in my kingdom, and the payoff will be eternal. Paul prays for the Ephesians who had become Christians in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. He asks that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Let us understand the great eternal riches that Jesus is offering us. Let us understand that it's worth our lives and more to give ourselves in his service, to give ourselves totally to following him. Well, have you ever had buyer's remorse, or have you ever felt like you would have buyer's remorse if you become a Christian? Do you wonder if it's worth it? If you're not a Christian, do you think, is it going to be worth it? All of this, giving up earthly possessions, perhaps, giving up earthly pleasures, investing your time in studying the Bible and worshiping God. You know, there are a lot of other uses of your time, right? Probably ways that you're using your time right now. Is it going to be worth it to live a life where you serve other people instead of just serving yourself? Is it going to be worth it to live a life where you're going to be embarrassed once in a while for standing up for what's right and saying the name of Jesus and talking about him as your Savior? The pearl of great price is worth it. It doesn't come with a money-back guarantee, but Jesus says it's worth it. He says, do not fear, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide for yourselves money bags that do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens which does not fail, where no thief approaches or moth destroys. That's Luke 12, verse 32 and 33. Yes, the kingdom of heaven is worth it. Let's walk the way that leads to life so that we can have the kingdom.